Shalom to all. Today's office in Shalom Megillah Daf Mem. We are starting Lama Tesla Bayes by the second last line with the word Turgamon. And today's office sponsor Lili Nishmas Marsh Mirim Sarbas Miyakam Maisha Hernish Amosh and Havan Aliyah. Says the Gemara Turgamon Shu Emel Fnei Chacham, a Turgamon who's standing in front of a Chacham. This is not referring to the Turgamon of the Torah, which we've been discussing previously. This is talking about what they used to do back in the day. For example, you have the Rav, the Rosh Hashiva. He would give a shir. He would say a few words or a sentence or two to the Turgamon, who's the spokesperson. And then the Turgamon, he would say over and explain what the Rav, the Rosh Hashiva said. So this Turgamon that's standing in front of the Chacham, he has no permission to change, to give any kinu, to give like a nickname of sorts, and not to add on to anything that was said. Mem went up on top. Elim kain hoy avay rabbi, unless it was his father or his rabbi. We have a few stories. Rabbi Das hava amayr Rabbi Yasa. Rabbi Das was the spokesperson of Rabbi Yasa, and Rabbi Yasa would say things over from Rabbi Lezer, who's Rabbi Das's father. So milin d'shal min avay, something that Rabbi Das had heard directly from his father, hava amar, he would say kach amar Rabbi b'shem Abba. This is what Rabbi Yasa says over in the name of my father. And even though that's considered being mechane, giving a kinoi, because Rabbi Yasa said it over in the name of Rabbi Lezer, and here he's saying it in the name of my father, the reason why that's permitted is because it's a kavod for his father. However, milin d'lo shama min avoy, something that he never heard from his father, hava amar, he would say, kein amar Rabbi b'shem Rabbi Lezer, this is what Rabbi Yasa says in the name of Rabbi Lezer, because since he hadn't heard it from his father, he would say that Rabbi Yasa heard it b'shem Rabbi Lezer. Similarly, Bar Yeshita, who is the son of Rabbi Chinana, hava amar d'rabavo, he was a spokesperson of Rabavo, we take out the word acha. Milin d'shama min avoy is something that he had heard from his father, hava amar, he would say, kein amar Rabbi b'shem Abba, this is what Rabbi Rabavo is saying in the name of my father, whereas milin d'lo shama min avoy is something he didn't hear from his father, hava amar, he would say, kein amar Rabbi b'shem Rabbi Chinana, this is what Rabbi says in the name of Rabbi Chinana. Another example, Rav Mana, kanda havas mayr b'chaburasa, Rav Mana, when he was paskening and saying over things in the chabura, milin d'shama min avoy is something that he heard from his father, b'beisa, in their house, hava amar, he would say, kein amar Abba, that's Barbara Girsa, he would say over, this is what my father said, and he used the lashon of Abba, father, because he had heard it over in his house, whereas milin d'shama min avoy b'zvada, something he heard from his father in the Beis Medrash, hava amar, he would say, kein amar Rabbi Yoina, this is what Rabbi Yoina says, and he wouldn't say, this is what my father Rabbi Yoina says, and that's because since he had heard it over in the Beis Medrash, it wasn't heard because of a father-son relationship, that's what you hear when you're in the house, it was heard more like a Talmud Rebbe, and therefore he said, this is what Rabbi Yoina tells us. Going to explain the Mishnah, we had said, hamnachana b'arayos, somebody who misinterprets psukim of arayos, what's this referring to? Bar Yasa d'avay, bar Yasa d'ime, it's referring to the arayos of his father or mother. For example, when the pasuk says, erves avicha v'imecha lo segale, don't reveal the erva of your father or mother, so he misinterprets that, and instead of explaining it directly, which means don't be with your father or mother, he explains that erva means kolayin, the embarrassment, as in don't embarrass your father or mother. And obviously that's a misinterpretation, and so we quiet him. Last thing Mishnah had said, mizarcha l'sitin l'haver l'melech, if a person misinterprets it and says, minzarcha l'sitin l'aver bar meyusa, we quiet him benizifa very strongly, and Tani Rabbi Shmuel teaches, zeshu noise aramis, somebody who marries an aramis, an Aramean woman, which means a non-Jew, umamid men abanim, and he has children from her, mamid oivim l'makayim, he's now establishing haters and enemies of Hashem, because now he fathered children, they're going to do avodah zarah, which goes against Hashem. And Atal Ochid Alfa Mishnah tells us, Maisa Ruvain Nikra V'lay Matargam, the story of Ruvain, where he switched his father's bed, that's read, but it's not explained, because if we explain it publicly, that's going to cause embarrassment for Ruvain. Now Maisa Tamar Nikra Umatargam, the story of Tamar with Yehuda, that's read, and it's explained, and that's because it's great Shevach to Yehuda, that he admitted his wrongdoing, as it says Beferish in the Pasuk. Now even though we know that Ruvain also admitted his wrongdoing, that's not stated Beferish in the Pasuk, and that's why we're not Matargam the story of Ruvain. Now Maisa Egel Harishain Nikra Umatargam, the story of the Egel Harishain, which is the main story of the Egel Azov, that's read, and we're going to explain it, whereas Vasheni, the Maisa Egel Hasheni, which we'll see in the Gemara what that's referring to, Nikra V'loy Matargam, that's going to be read without the Targum. Now Berchus Kaihanim Umaisa David V'Amnon, the Pasuk in Berchus Kaihanim, the story of David with Batsheva, and the story of Amnon with him being Ma'anes' sister Tamar, this is where son and daughter of David HaMelech, Loy Nikrin V'loy Matargam, they're not read, and they're not translated. So Gemara begins by discussing Reuven and Yehuda. Say the Pasuk says, Asher Chacham Yagidu Loy Kichadu Me'Avoysam, the wise men say it, wasn't withheld from the fathers. Now this is referring to Reuven and Yehuda, who both admitted what they did wrong, so they didn't withhold from their father what they did, and Maschar Not Lakach, what schar did they receive for this that they admitted? As what the very next Pasuk says, Lahem Levadim Nitna Aretz, to them alone the land was given, V'loy Avar Zar B'Saycham, no stranger passed among them, and this refers to the fact that Yehuda became a king and became a melech, and Reuven was the first one to receive their portion in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara goes on to explain the next part of the Mishnah, Ezu Maisa Egel Hasheni, what is Maisa Egel Hasheni? So we're going to have a number of different opinions, all of them agree on this, referring to when Moshe is discussing what happened with Aaron. We know that we have the first part of the story of them actually making and serving the Egel, and then we have the second part of the story with Moshe Rabbeinu coming down, breaking the Luchais, and then he asks Aaron what went on, and then there's a conversation back and forth. As that's Maisa Egel Hasheni. So Simon says, Rishu Ben Levi, it's Mitshuva Shei Vayishev Moshe es Aharon, from the pasuk of the response that Moshe gave to Aharon, ad up until the pasuk of Kipuroi Aharon l'shimsa b'kameyem, that's Maisa Egel Hasheni. Now Chananya Bar Shlemya says b'shem Rav, mitshuva sheshev Aharon es Moshe. That's really from the response that Aaron gave to Moshe, ad Kipuroi Aharon l'shimsa b'kameyem, until this pasuk. And Rav Acha says b'shem Rabah, it's up until the following where it says Umacha Hashem Yos Amo, that Hashem destroyed his nation, al asher asu es Egel, that they made the Egel, asher asa Aharon, that Aharon made. It's up until that pasuk. Now the Gemara explains, why is it that we're going to read but not be Matargim at Maisa Egel Hasheni, but we will Maisa Egel Rishon? So Mar Ukvan says, B'shem Rabban Taman, Loi Doi Meginai Yachid B'tzibur, Leginai Tzibur B'tzibur. There's no comparison between the embarrassment individual in the Tzibur as opposed to the embarrassment of the Tzibur in the Tzibur. Maisa Egel Rishon is the embarrassment of the Tzibur that's going to be read publicly in the Tzibur. So yes, it is embarrassing, but still, it's a collective embarrassment as opposed to reading about Aaron HaKoyin, that's Maisa Egel Hasheni, that's Genai Yachid being read aloud in the Tzibur, and that's why we're not going to be Matargim it. Now going on to the last part of Mishra where we had said, Berchus Kayhanim is Loi Nikun V'Loi Matargim, it's not going to be read or Targum. Says the Gemara of Asya Ki Hido Amar V'Chelba B'Shem Rav Chana, this is just like Rav Chelba said in the name of Rav Chana, and here we have an important Girsa change, Berchus Kayhanim Loi Nikras V'Loi Matargim is, Berchus Kayhanim is not read, and we don't explain it either. Now this is as opposed to a Shita that we have in Bavli that tells us that it's read but not translated, and the reason we're not going to read the Targum is because people might make a mistake when it says Yisa Hashem Panav Eilecha, and they might misinterpret that. So according to that Shita, it's going to be read, but there's not going to be Targum. But our Mishnah seems to, but our Mishnah is going along with what that there's no Berchus Kayhanim, no reading, no Targum. And Mavez on top, Rav Babar Kain, Ba Kumi Rav Yasa, Matama, what's the source for this? So Amrlei, he told him, the Pasuk tells us about Berchus Kayhanim, Kaisev Archu, so you shall bless B'nai Yisrael. What do we learn from here? Lebracha Nitna, Loi Nitna L'Kriya. It was given only for Bracha, not for Kriya, which means that we're not just supposed to read it, it's supposed to be meant, here's a blessing. The Kayhanim are supposed to bless the Yidden, and just reading it is not a blessing, so we don't read it according to the Shita. And we got to Alchi Yud Beis, the very last mission of the Masechta. Ein Maftirin Merkava, no reading Haftara of Maisa Merkava of Yechaskel, which is the first parak of Yechaskel. It talks about extremely lofty and esoteric concepts, and if we read as Haftara publicly, people who are not Roy, he might start looking into it and asking questions and delving into it when they're not allowed to. So no reading it. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says it's allowed. Last year, Rabbi Blazer says, Ein Maftirin Bahidas Yushalayim is Tev Aseha, no reading Haftara from the section of Navi Yechaskel, which literally translated means, let Yushalayim know of its abominations. That's because it's an affront and an insult and speaks negatively about Yerushalayim and its inhabitants, so we're not going to read that publicly. Says the Gemara, Ein Maftirin Markava, Rabbi Yehuda Mater, Rabbi Elazar Omer, Ein Maftirin Bahidus Yerushalayim Estav Aseha. And now, Maisa, there's a story, Be'echad Shefter's Bahidus Yerushalayim Estav Aseha, there's a fellow who did read this Haftarah out loud, and Omer Le Rabbi Elazar told him, Yelich Oisei Ish, that man should now go, V'yedeh B'tav Aseha Shal Imai, and let everyone know of the abominations of his mother. He read this Haftarah out loud, letting everyone know about the abominations of Yerushalayim. He should tell everyone about the abominations of his mother. And Ubat Guachrav, they checked after him, V'nimtza Mamzer, it turned out he was a Mamzer, which means that he was born of an illicit relationship that his mother had, and so Kachava turned out that everyone did find out about the abominations of his mother. Now the Gemara gets into quite a long discussion regarding Hilchas Mezuzah. One explanation given for why it's being read over here, because since just beforehand we learned in the Mishnah that if a person makes his tefillin round, that's dangerous for him, and there's no mitzvah in that either, so we have a few cases over here regarding doing a mezuzah improperly where that's going to be a danger for him because he doesn't have a mezuzah properly on his door. So regarding begins by asking a question, V'dam mezuzah yavin lahecha. Regarding this mezuzah, where is it supposed to be placed on the door? So Rabbi Zaira quotes Rabbi Yehuda B'Shem Shmuel, Mishalshai, he divides the height of his door into thirds, V'noisim b'tchila shlisha elyoin, and he puts it at the beginning of the upper third, which means he starts from the bottom of his door frame, goes up one third, up another third, and when he's right at the bottom of that upper third, that's where he places the mezuzah. Whereas Rabbi Chalba says B'Shem Rav Chana, Chaitzes HaPasach, first he cuts the doorway in half. Meaning he divides the doorway, there's an upper half and the lower half, and then he takes the upper half, Umishalshai, he divides that into three, V'noisim b'saif shlisha tachtoin, and he places the mezuzah at the end of the bottom third. Asked the Gemara Ma'abe Nehoin, what's the difference between these two opinions? They're both talking about basically the same spot on the door. And the answer is, Makam mezuzah b'nehoin, the place where the mezuzah is. According to Rav Chalba, the place where the mezuzah ends is where the mezuzah starts, according to Rav Zaira. Now, where Tavri Shal Rav Yitzchak has as follows, Hagatzmacha, think about it for yourself, Shahayashar Gavaya. Let's say the entranceway, the gate, is very high, so the upper third is going to be way higher than his head. So Amalei told him, in that situation, Nosan Kenek Seifav, he places it opposite where his shoulders are. And as the Gemara, Beis Midrash Rav Chanina, Avid Kain, Beis Midrash Rav Chanina, that's what they did because it's a very tall doorway. Another thing about mezuzah, Rabbi Yirmiyah says, B'shem Rav Shmuel Rav Yitzchak, Beis Mezuzah Shel Rebbe, the Beis Mezuzah of Rebbe's house, Haya also came in Neger, it was made like a Neger, which is a bolt. In other words, it hollowed out part of the door frame and put the mezuzah inside. And the discussion in the Gemara elsewhere, how exactly was laying, perhaps it was laying flat like a bolt, like laying on its side, or maybe it was set up a different way. The Gemara continues, Talia Bedeles, let's say it was hung on the door, not on the post of the door, meaning not on the door frame on the mezuzah, but on the door itself. Sakana that's a danger. She'ain't bar mitzvah. There's no mitzvah in it. The reason why it's a sakana is because mezuzah is protecting the house. And here, since he didn't put the mezuzah properly, it's not protecting the house. So it's a danger. Also, chakak bresh hamakel. Let's say he hollowed out the top of a stick and he put the mezuzah in that. V'nicha makam she'ein roiloi. And then he put that stick with the mezuzah in it in a place that's not fit for it, maybe behind the door or something like that. Sakana she'ein bar mitzvah. It's also a danger and there's no mitzvah in it. However, if you put it on the doorpost, so then it is okay, even though the mezuzah itself is on the doorpost. But since it's in a pole and a stick, which is on the doorpost, so it's a perfectly fine place to put the mezuzah. Now, in this situation, Rabba says, B'shem Rabbi Yehuda, v'filu loy samroi, even though he didn't nail it in, that comes from Lashon of Masmer, which is a nail, so even if this pole that has mezuzah in it is not nailed to the door frame, that's okay. As the Gemara of Atanu Rabba says, v'hushah samroi, it's only if he nailed it in. So Rabbi Yossi explains, v'hushah yichadoy lekein, he only doesn't have to nail it in if he uses miyached, this stick that has mezuzah in it, to be part of his door frame, and he's going to leave it there, so he doesn't have to connect it or nail it to the door frame. We just put it there temporarily, so then it's not considered mezuzah unless he nails it in. Now, regarding this pole that has mezuzah in it, shall base milvan hayu oisin kima pomusiyos. The Milvan family, they used to do this when they went out to battle. Pomusiyos is the troops when they would travel and they were going around from one place to another, so they were always in tents. And even though a tent is not chayv in mezuzah, still they would take this pole that had a mezuzah in it and put it at the entrance to their tent, really just as a zecher lo mezuzah. Another din shmulamer, he says nasal finimi tefach psula. If a person put the mezuzah more than a tefach in, it's possible. For example, if a person has a very thick door frame and he cuts a hole into his door frame deeper than a tefach, that's possible because not considered to be on his door frame, rather in his door frame. In terms of Arisai's Shem Shmuel, another din, the shma of the mezuzah has to see the entranceway. We know the mezuzah has shma written on it, and so in essence, he's telling us that the way that it's rolled is that he starts from the left side of the parchment, which is basically the end of the row, and he rolls it towards the beginning. So that means the word shma, which is the first word on the parchment, is on the outside of it, and that's facing the Pesach. However, we have a question on this. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Zaira, Kina Masnisa." So is this what's being said in the Mishnah? Tzir Shiyesh LeShnei Pesachim. If we have a hinge or a post that has two different entranceways, there's machlokes how we could have that. It could just be it's a very thin post, and there's an entrance on the right and on the left. There's other explanations as well. Either which way the din is, Noisan Al Ezim Hen Shiyirta, he could put the mezuzah on whichever one he wants, and that covers both door frames. Now the problem is, Heich Shma Shalal Reis Pesach. How is its Shma seeing the Pesach? Let's say he's putting the mezuzah by the left doorway. So he's putting on the doorpost, which is on the right, but he's covering the left doorway, so the shma of the mezuzah is only facing the left, and that's totally ignoring the entire door on the right-hand side. And if he puts it on the right-hand side, so it's totally ignoring the one on the left, so that's a question on what Rabbi Zaira just said, b'shem Shmuel. One more then, bayis shesh l'shnei psachim, if we have a house that has two different entranceways, so nice and baragil, the mezuzah only has to be placed on the door that's commonly used. On top, what about the following, hayu shnei and regilin, let's say both doors are used, so nice and b'chazis, he puts it on the one that has a chazis, which is like a decoration that's made by the entranceway. It was basically some sort of form with stones. It was like the wall leaning in or something like that, like a design of sorts that they would make then. So whichever door frame has that, that's what you should put it on. Now, hayu shnein chazis, if both of them have a chazis, noisan al izman shiirta, he can put on whichever one he wants. We're going to stop for the day and pick up tomorrow with more discussions about mezuzah, but for now, everyone should have a wonderful day.